Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, family. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege and honor to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally, so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We're together again. And we're going to continue our teaching on disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Once again, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Now, for the last couple of weeks, we have been teaching on disobedience and its consequences. Again, we've been teaching on disobedience and its consequences. Now we found out that disobedience simply means rebellion against all recognized authority. Again, disobedience simply means rebellion against all recognized authority. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of John, chapter 10. Again, that's John chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 10b. And this is Jesus is speaking. And it says, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Amen. It is my desire that you receive the greatest degree of happiness, the greatest degree of prosperity, the greatest degree of health, the greatest degree of love, and the greatest degree of spiritual maturity in your life that our Father has provided for His children. That is why I believe this teaching is so important for us as believers to understand obedience and the consequences for such behavior. This teaching is mainly directed to the believer, the body of Christ, because we have many believers in the body of Christ who consistently disobey the word of God. So consequently, they are living shabby lives and their spiritual growth is stagnant. Now, I am not concerned about the world or non-believers because they are going to do what they do. They don't know Jesus and they have no ambition to know Him. So their actions speak for themselves. Please turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 2. That's the first epistle or letters of John chapter 2. And let's read verses 15 through 17. And it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we see here that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. So we need to understand that those things are of Satan and is not of our Heavenly Father. And that is passing away. Those verses pretty much summed up the non-believer. They are addicted to the world's system and its desires. And in the end, if they continue living by them, will eventually die. We have a Father that tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of lights. Amen. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father. So my question is simple, but a complex one. Why are Christians disobedient? We have a loving Father who has given us everything, the abundant life. So why are we consistently disobedient? We're going to look at this simple but complex question and see if we can get some understanding regarding it. Now I have several bullet points we are going to examine regarding this dilemma. Number one, what causes the believer to be disobedient? What causes him to go off track? You know, the word tells us there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end is the way of death. There's a way. But we're not talking about a way. We're talking about Jesus. Amen. It says, so what causes the believer to be disobedient? Now, and under that, I have three topics that I would like to discuss regarding the cause of disobedience. And they are A, man has been given a free will. God has given man a free will. B, we have an adversary. We have an adversary. and see, do we understand? Do we have the understanding of what disobedience and the consequences are? Our second point is, what are the consequences to the believer for their disobedience? Because there are going to be some consequences for the believer, for him being disobedient. And then number three, how does the believer refrain from being disobedient? How does he refrain from acting on what Satan has put out there? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We are going to examine these points from a biblical point of view. In other words, what does the Bible say about it? And can we get clarity on this matter? Because I believe we can. I believe it just has not been made available to the believer so he can understand his error. So let's begin with point number one. What causes the believer to be disobedient? Now, you know, when you go out to enjoy a movie with the family at the theater, and you want to get there at the beginning of the movie, you don't want to miss any parts of the movie, because if you do, you will miss the storyline. So just like the movies, we want to go back to the beginning as we teach on disobedience. So please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Again, that's Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 26 and 27. And it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now, you're there in Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read verse number 7. Again, that's Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." He became a living spirit, a living talking spirit. So God spoke mankind into existence with his word, saying, "Man be in our image," and man became. When God's words were breathed into this lifeless form of man's body, God's faith-filled words instantly produced the eternal power of his own life, the Zoe life, the love and dominion inside man, exactly like himself. In other words, he repeated himself or remade himself through man. Amen. It is the soul of man that especially bears God's image. Let me repeat that. It is the soul of man that especially bears God's image. Man was made upright. He was made to walk, to move around. His understanding saw divine things of the will of God because he was made in God's image and likeness. His affections were all regular, and he had no bad appetites or passion. His thoughts were easily brought and fixed to the best subjects. Holy and happy were our first parents in having the image of God upon them. They were holy and happy because they had the image and the likeness of Almighty God. He was spiritually innocent in all his ways. But how is this image of God upon man defaced? How did he go from being spiritually innocent to being disobedient to the word of God? We're going to look at this, and we're going to try to get some understanding, like I said, from a spiritual point of view. Now, if you're still in Genesis, please go to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 15 through 17. What causes man to be disobedient? Genesis 2, beginning with 15 through 17. It says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" Now, what we're doing, family, we're laying or building a foundation for the first bullet point, which is, what is the cause for the believer to be disobedient to God's word? Now, I want you to notice something very closely. I want you to notice the progression here. Number one, we see where God made man in his image, his likeness. He made mankind, not gender. Then number two, he created male and female. Then number three, God formed man from the dust of the ground. Number four, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Five, man became a living being. Six, he was spiritually innocent. In other words, he knew no wrong because he was made in the image of God. He had the Zoe type of life. Amen. The love and dominion was placed inside, exactly like God himself. Number six, he put man in the garden to tend and to keep it. Amen. Number eight, he commanded man not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, he commanded the man not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Now, that's very interesting that he commanded the man, because that word command is a very interesting term. It simply is an authoritative directive, which is to be obeyed. So when God give you a command, it is authoritative directive straight from the heavenly thrones of God. Now, authoritative means to be trusted as being accurate, true, or reliable. So the word of God, when he commanded man not to eat of the fruit of the tree, hey, it was a directive, and it could be trusted. It was accurate. It was true, and it was reliable, because when man ate of the tree, all hell broke out. Amen. And so the word directive also means an official instruction or order. So God gave Adam, or man at that time, a directive, an official instruction not to eat of the tree. And then number nine, he says, if you eat from the tree, you will surely die. Amen. Now, one noticeable element God gave man, which is believed caused man to be disobedient, was his free will. Was his free will. Now, free will within itself is not bad, but the decisions you make because you have the ability to make can cause you to be disobedient to God's word. In other words, man was given the ability to make his own choices for himself. God did not stand in the way or manipulate man in the decisions he made. That was his free will, to make the decisions he made. Now, when God commanded man not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, at that point, it was man's choice to obey or not to obey God's commandment. That decision he made continues to be long-lasting and life-changing in today's environment. The decision man made at that time still affects every human being, every plant life, every animal, the atmosphere, and everything in the world today. Amen. Because God had given man dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. His decision affected all of them. So man's free will, the ability to make his own decisions, can, and in this situation, cause him to be disobedient to the word of God. So he ate of the fruit that God commanded him not to. And sadly, many believers today make that same choice that man did in the beginning, to eat of the tree that God has told them not to eat of. Now, please go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to look at something else that I believe is so important in regards to this disobedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 14 through 18. And it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." It says, "For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. For I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, this is a very powerful verse, because it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Now, you know, in the body of Christ, we have a lot of people, male and female, young people. You know, when they get married, they marry people that are not Christians. Amen. They would marry a non-believer. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, most people, you know, that scripture that we read in 1 John where it says that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, most people, they look in the wrong areas or the wrong thing when they look for a husband or a wife. You know, they only look for beauty. So beauty's only skin deep, and that's only going to last for a while. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so they end up marrying somebody who's not a believer, and he end up being Godzilla. Amen. He's not a man of God. And so you can't change somebody. That person is going to have to make that decision on his own. So why are you going to be involved with an unbeliever. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? So what fellowship does a young lady has with a person that doesn't know the word? Because he's good looking? Hey, those looks are going to change. You better start looking at the heart of the man. It says, and what communion has light with darkness? What does light have to do with darkness? I tell you, people, I don't understand why people that are born in the church, raised under the word of God, they do not follow what the word of God tells them to do. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It says, or what has a believer has to do with an unbeliever? You a believer and you going to marry an unbeliever? Hey, you're looking for trouble from the beginning. Amen. And you need to understand that. It says, for you are the temple of the living God. He isn't. He's the temple of the living Satan. Amen. Well, you know what? I am just about out of the time for today, but I'm certainly not out of message. But please join us next week. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.